my third Pathways Conference, and as a tech head, I always enjoy catching up with Greg O'Connor, now working with TextHelp. I start this segment off with a snippet from his presentation around promoting learner agency for all learners using digital tools. I then had the opportunity to catch up with him one-on-one.
For me, the issue was twofold. I talked about it's actually about reading and writing. Reading essentially is access to information. We know that wherever you are, that the complex task of reading is by far the most predominant indicator of failing to complete what you're doing. So in further and higher education, students will tell you when they don't complete the coursework, it's primarily because of the level of reading that's required to complete that coursework. The other factor is writing, which is actually essentially the ability to express your understanding. And it's something that we don't really cater with very well, considering that writing is the most academically challenged task we get our students to do. And we do it with almost little support. Issue is that literacy, to me, is about agency. I want to explain that term, which is essentially giving our students the power to act, giving them control. I'm going to talk a bit more about that. That leads to inclusive practices. That leads to course completion. That leads to employment. That leads to being socially connected. It's all predicated basically on your ability to read and write and not be defined by only your ability to read and write. Now, what can we do about this? Well, there's a whole bunch of stuff we can do about it, but technology is one of those tools. It's not the only solution, but it is a tool.
So I'm here with Greg O'Connor from TextHelp. Is that correct?
That's right, Mark.
No worries, man. Now, we've met before. It was, I think, February or March 2014 at Wagga, where you were working for Spectronics, and you did a workshop down there.
That's right. Wow,
And I had to come along. Oh, I didn't have to come along. I was interested to come along because I do see the potential. I've always seen the potential of particularly cognitive learning issues. One of the solutions to that has always been around the use of emerging technologies, as I call it. One of the things I had to do for that workshop was I had to buy myself an iPad. And I've been in love with it ever since. And I really appreciate the fact that you opened my eyes to that through that workshop.
Yep.
Even though it was for Spectronics and you made money and all that sort of stuff. It was all good. So here we are. 5 years later, pretty much, and you're now working for TextHelp.
TextHelp.
So give us a bit of a quick overview of TextHelp.
So TextHelp is we're a company that provides literacy software solutions.
Yep.
Well, basically, ed tech solutions around literacy and maths now. And I guess if in a nutshell, what I would say is that we provide solutions for people, say, around literacy.
Yep.
So that your ability to read and write shouldn't define who you are, how you engage in the education process, the learning, how to be socially connected, employment, all those kind of things. And so tech is part of the solution, not the solution, and how these tools are really important for anybody who struggles with reading or writing. And they're also doing the stuff around maths as well, where, you know, one of the struggles in the digital world is, how do I actually write this stuff down? You know, how do I write the quadratic formula down on a Word doc? And it's really been difficult.
And Google's done a little bit of playing around with that.
Yeah, they have. And so we've actually got a way of actually that anybody who needs to make math notation, we've made it easy. You can use your voice. You can actually handwriting recognition. There's even predictive text. There's even when the student's in a lecture and the lecturer's writing copious notes on the whiteboard, all this, you can now literally take a photo of that whiteboard and all the maths will be converted to digital maths.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
As far as the one thing I really like about the product is the fact that all these applications that it does, you could find individually on your own, but this brings it all to
that tells you where we are. That's true, it can. And so what one of the things about tech, and one of the things about anyone who in any way has barriers that they put in front of them in their learning, as they try to deal with that, it actually is issues of cognitive load. You know, the more things you've got to do.
Yes.
And so what we don't want someone going to a whole 10 different places to get what they need. So what we try to do is have it in the one place, you know, and reduce the cognitive load that's required to use all this stuff.
It would be an extra, and when that's talking about from a student individual point of view, I would imagine that would also apply from an organisational point of view, from a ICT, let's talk about it in the context of schools, for example. That's all they would want, is so they can manage with one system rather than have to be jumping through a whole bunch of different systems.
And you don't want to have to be managing individual licences for individual people and what platform.
And it's multi-platform because it's
cloud-based. It's platform agnostic. So it doesn't matter which team you're buried.
Using tech to personalise. And the big thing about personalisation, the big movement, is that the tech is in the hands and the control of the end user. Not the gatekeeper, not the funder, not the school principal, not the head of the particular faculty or university. This is actually an area that we are dealing with, because education has been about control, and all of a sudden we're saying the control needs to be in the hands of our students, particularly tech. And that's what learner agency basically means. It means giving our students the power to act when they need to act. And then they need to wait for me to decide what's best for them.
We talk about read and write. Read and write is Windows.
Yes.
Mac.
Yeah.
Google. Microsoft Edge. iPad and Android and Android tablet. And so the same toolbar can appear in all those different places.
Yeah, wonderful.
Yeah. And the other great thing about it is it's 24/7. So once I leave that environment, that learning environment, I don't leave my tools behind. Wherever I go, I can call them up and be using those tools, because it's all about the cloud.
I've been doing a bit of work in Victoria with a fellow named Steve Capp. He does a lot of phonetics training and he's really pushing that sort of stuff. Is there an age where this sort of stuff kicks in? Because he's really working in that primary school bracket to try and bring kids up to speed.
So we talk about reader literacy support. It's middle primary. When kids enter school, in kinder and year one and year two, they're actually learning to read. And actually everybody in that environment's remedial. We're all learners. And it's kind of by about year two and year three, you go from learning to read to reading to earn. You've got to actually get on and read stuff to content. And that's when we notice that students start to struggle really dramatically.
Well, he's making the same point, and I suppose that's why I raised it.
Yeah, and then we know a whole lot of stuff around remediation, around literacy, and so that's when that all jumps in then. But for whatever reason, some students, they don't get the remediation, it doesn't, whatever it is.
And then you say they spend all their time trying to do the educating rather than the learning.
Yeah, and then by the time they get to the end of the primary school, that hasn't worked out, it just becomes this layer that they're not being successful, and they see the whole issue of reading is they just become disengaged.
Yeah.
And so by the time they get to a secondary environment, they're over it.
And you said something yesterday, I want to touch on it, around the literacy, almost like a hierarchy, like Maslow's hierarchy, of where literacy sits at the base platform of stuff. And it moves through agency, inclusion, course completion, employment, and finally social inclusion.
So that's what I think literacy is at the core of everything. And when you kind of, if you do a functional behavior analysis of what you've been presented with the student, it's really about reading and writing, whatever it is. And so if we can actually get past the whole literacy barrier for our students, then we can talk about giving them agency, which means giving them power to act, giving them control. Then that actually supports their inclusion. That then kind of leads on to being involved in the process, all those other things fall into place.
I really understand that system, and I understand where you're coming from that. Not really a question, more of a comment on my part is, if we're doing literacy and numeracy as a basic skill, does digital literacy have a right to sit there alongside those two, given where we're moving with technology?
Well,
is that a different? Is that more from a teacher
educating teacher perspective, or?
Yeah, well, it's a bigger question, isn't it? I mean, you know, that kind of thing about why we're using the QWERTY keyboard still.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right.
When it was invented for a whole different reason, we still got it on a, you know, and that, as I said yesterday.
And you look at a classroom these days, and it's got the blackboard at the front, it's got the teacher's desk, it's still got the desk all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not in a lot of occasions, and yeah. I know primary schools moved away from that.
And but schools are moving away.
But the vet sector is very much the same as what it has been for 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
So, maker spaces aren't.
Yeah,
as common in regional areas. But
so often what happens, you know, tech often gets put into a situation and it's been put in for a particular reason, but it becomes disruptive because it makes people rethink how they do stuff.
Yeah, okay.
And they go, I can do things differently. And it's not about the teacher, it's not about the instructor, it's about the actual students you're supporting, the learners.
Yeah, cool.
That's the major change when we actually need to take the focus from us. It's not about us, and so it's about our students, the people we're supporting.
I saw something really interesting happen at TAFE recently. They got a Promethean board. Have you seen the Promethean?
Yep.
And I said, well, I can do that just by plugging my iPad through a VGA cable. Yeah, I could do the same thing, but with limitations. I can't do the screen imaging thing that they can do. What I really noticed was, because it was so instinctive as a huge iPad, basically, it engaged the teachers to want to play and have a look around on it. Where otherwise they would have never been engaged to want to try that stuff before.
Yeah.
I think that's the sort of stuff I think...
Yeah, well, with an interactive whiteboard, it's interesting, you know, if you put an interactive whiteboard into a classroom, into two classrooms.
Yeah.
You put in those two classrooms, you have two identical sets of students, you have two identical curriculums. The key factor that will actually make a difference of how outcomes for those students are not the students and not the whiteboard, is actually how the teacher uses that whiteboard.
You made a very good comment last night yesterday. Technology is not going to help bad teaching.
No, the technology is an amplifier of pedagogy.
Yeah.
It actually makes great teaching better, but it doesn't make ineffective teaching anymore.
And in some cases, it can actually be a distraction.
Well, yeah. Well,
from all points of view.
Well, you know, then it can be used, technology can be used as a reinforcer, as a behaviour management program for all the things that's not intended. It's actually an instruction.
So what's next for TextHelp, you think?
Well, we're really for us. So we've just hit. We've actually now got 20 million users of Read and Write globally,
It's a based Australian based company, or is it?
No, it's a UK. It started in Belfast.
Yep.
20 years ago. So there's an office in Belfast, there's an office in Boston, and now we have an office in Brisbane.
Yes, okay.
And so in Australia, for instance, we've got 500,000 users of Read and Write. So it's great. I mean, our big...
What about the Chinese market?
Southeast Asia. There's a great book called Factability. It's a great book. One of in the book, this guy talks about using data and how we use data. And he talks about the world's postcode currently is 1112. What that means is population. It means one is America, one is Europe, one is Africa, and two is Asia. So that's kind of proportioning. He reckons in the year 2050, the world's postcode will be 1124. One in America, one in Europe, two in Africa and four in Asia. And what he's saying is that's where the population growth is. And so Africa and Asia is where we have a lot of people. And for us in Australia, 30% of our university students are from Asia.
Yeah, right. Yes, yes. And that was the one thing I forgot to mention before I let you get back to doing what you're doing, which is really good, was the comment around... Whilst it's a numeracy and literacy tool, and most people would apply it to those people with learning difficulties, English as a second language,
English language learners,
would be a
huge area of
client use.
Okay,
so I might look at how we tap that into some of the adult migrant English programs and see what sort of experiment I can get going there.
Yeah, well, it's just untapped area. So our big audacious hairy aim is that we want, whatever it means, we just think we want to get say, read and write in the hands of 100 million students globally, so to make a difference.
The dictionary function that's in there, is that able to be changed to different language settings?
So at the moment, you can actually get read and write fully converted over to French.
French, yep. Which would help some African
French, Portuguese, Brazilian, Arabic.
Oh, wow.
French, German, Italian. There's a few, and of course, down the track, I like to think that the next would be Chinese.
It's a hard one, Mandarin.
But the Arabic version has happened now, and that's actually awesome.
And that would have been hard as well.
That took two programmers a year to actually get that developed.
Yeah,
right.
So
we actually have about 60 programmers in TextHelp who are spending the whole time programming, which is actually a really good indication of the fact that of a company of, say, let's say we're 160 people, 60 of them are actually in programming, so they're actually doing a STEM job. And that's about indicative of where employment's going. So at the moment, STEM jobs are increasing at 1.5 times the rate of non-STEM jobs. That's where the work is. And at the moment, girls and women in those STEM jobs are really underrepresented, and people with a disability are even less represented. And so by actually not giving all those folks access to STEM qualifications and STEM knowledge, we're actually giving them further barriers.
I think that's a real potential as well. Whilst IT is a potential to get you to certain areas, we need to break down some of this workforce mentality and really task orientate some stuff, which the future's going to be. That's just my view.
That's the future. So that's all good.
So if people want to find out a bit more, they can go to texthelp.com?
They can go to texthelp.com, or they can contact
yourself?
us at in the Brisbane office at AsiaPac, AsiaPac at texthelp.com.au.
No worries, man. Thank you very much. I look forward to catching up with you again.
Thanks, Mark.
And find out how things have developed.
It's time to head to the beach.
That's it.